First topic, this is for about Kriya, but Mayeski will tell us the truth. We have the Sholoi Shur Golem, and we all know that there's an Indian of V'samachta B'chagecha. V'samachta B'chagecha, and we have V'samachta B'chagecha, and especially now, and especially on Sukkos, the Chol HaMoed Sukkos, there is a many celebrations, Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Where in the Torah does it say the word Simcha? Ah. So the truth is, when it comes to Pesach, people are very shocked to know it does not say the word Simcha anywhere b'chol HaTorah kula that there's an inyan of having Simcha on Pesach. The only right. two places in the Torah where it talks about the Moadim. Pesach is not really fair. It talks about Pesach, obviously, in Parshas Bo. And really, Parshas Bo, right?
I'll tell you right now. The 17 times in Kol HaTorah Kula that he uses a Lashon Simcha.
Wow.
13 are in Devar.
Okay.
And once in each of the other four Svar. Once in Bereshis, once in Shemos, once in Midbar, once in Bamidbar. It's a trivia question. You got to figure it out where.
Okay, where did it say Simcha in Bereshis?
Ah, that's the hard one. Because Moshe was saying he was talking and. And even Rabbi Alman didn't, because they're together in the bungalow. And he said they couldn't remember. Moshe got them. You know, they were figuring out. They finally got them. Gracious, they couldn't
find.
My loved one said it. That's the only time in Bereshis the word Simcha is used.
Wow. So that's amazing, because that explains why you say in the Haggadah, Arami Oyved Avi. And who's Arami? Lavan. Lavan.
At which point?
Well, when he goes out, when Lavan catches.
That's amazing.
When he ran away from Lavan. Okay. That's the only time in the whole Sefer Bereshis the word Simcha.
Vashalecha b'Simcha.
It took me about 20 minutes till I got it. You know, sitting in the sukkah. You know, we were sitting. And I was trying to, you know, I got the others.
Wow. Came Shemos. I don't know where it says Shemos, Simcha, and Shemos.
Both.
Where?
Where in Bo? I forgot already exactly. Vayikra right away, you know, in Emor and in Bamidbar also. V'yom Simchas Tevim Bo Adechem Rosh Yom Pinchas. Uskat Tevim HaTzotzer Otsal, you know, over there. But 30, most of the time, I forgot. I'll think of it.
Wow, it's amazing.
Came up with gracious. It took me a long time to figure out. And he gave me a hint that it's not in a good context, you know.
Fascinating.
That's why.
One word for you.
That's why I put it.
Okay. No, I don't. I have one, but I don't like to use it. I like to use my head. This is like we test each other.
That's why.
With mental gymnastics. You know. But that's interesting. Right? It's a good
thing. Fascinating. Unbelievable. Okay, so let's review this idea. This idea, I think there's a, it could be we said part of it before Yom Kippur, but I want to review it and say it a little bit differently this time. Now, there is, with regard to the Mo'adim, Pesach, when the Torah discusses the Yom Kippur of Pesach, and the celebration of Pesach, the Tzivut, basically the Tzivut, the commandment to have joy, with regard to Pesach, it does not say anywhere, B'chol HaTorah Kula, there's a mitzvah to have Simcha on Pesach. Now, it could be that we are makish, we compare all the Mo'adim to one another, and by comparing them to one another, it comes out, Halacha L'maisa, on Pesach, as a din of the Chag, there's a mitzvah of Simcha. But it's not stated directly in the Torah.
It says the reason. I mean, Barbanel goes into Marich about the reason why.
Why? What does he say?
Because the... For Shavuos and Pesach, the crops are at least...
Okay, right. An agricultural reason.
So you
because
have at least, you know, when you get a break,
you're
you
in
have
a state.
Day off in the week, so you're a little bit the menucha. You don't have a real...
They're daigus.
Next day you go back to work.
You have daigus. So
here, you have a real break, so you really could relax and enjoy Yom Kippur.
When we focus on the Mo'adim from the perspective of the agricultural season, so Pesach is not a time to rejoice, is because you have daigus. Who says that the crop is going to come in? Will everything will go according to plan? Okay. But what about as far as the inyan, not the agriculture? Hey, it doesn't say Simcha. It doesn't say. What about by Shavuos? Shavuos, it says the word simcha one time. It says in Parashas Re'eh, V'samachta b'chagecha. Sukkis, it says it twice. It says it once in Emor. Ulekachtem lechem priyem rishon priyei tzadar. What does it say? The pasuk it says, Ulekachtem lechem priyem rishon priyei tzadar.
It says it a lot of times.
Only one time it says it.
By Re'eh, it says it a couple of times.
By Re'eh, one time it says it also, V'samach v'samachta, atur vincha vitecha v'samachta. And then it's Ulekachtem lechem priyem rishon priyei tzadar, priyei tzadar. Kapois tomorrow, vanaf its ovis, va'arve nochal, usim emor, usimachtem, lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. So it comes out that by Sukkos it says the word simcha twice. Shmini Atzeres, it says vehoyiso ach sonech. And Chazal understand this to mean, it's a tzivui, l'rabois, Lel Yoim Toiv Acharon Shel Chag. Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres. That's the word Rosha. Okay. Rashi first, for Rashi first, it's a Haftocha. It's not a Tzivui. Umidroshoi. Umidroshoi. It's a Tzivui. It's a Tzivui to have Simcha. When to have Simcha? Simcha Shmini Atzeres. So let's review what we have over here. This is a very interesting observation. We have the Pesach zero. The Torah does not give us a command to have joy on the Yom Tov of Pesach. Zero. Shavuos, the Torah says, yes. V'somachto b'chagecho. Sukkos, it says v'somachto, you shall rejoice with regard to your family. And then it says in Parashas Emor, with regard to Sukkos, ulekachta v'lechem b'yom harishon, you shall take. And Sukkos, the Dalad Minim, usimachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Simcha, a double dosage of simcha. Then when we come to the last of the Moadim, there are really four Moadim. Anyone who told you there are three Regalim, they made a mistake. the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Shalosh Pam Hashana. He would fail the exam Hashem because it says v'hayisa ach sameach. There's a shmini atzeres is a yom tov b'fnei atzmai. It's its own yom tov, and on shmini atzeres it says ach sameach, which there are many interpretations of what it means. Many drashos and drushim. But let's now focus on the simplest pshat. Pure simcha. Only simcha. Okay, achazimiyut, take away the lulav, take away the esrog, just rejoice in Hashem. Ach can mean tsar, vayishoer, ach, noyach. Let's put away all the drush. Sometimes the drush corrupts our minds. Vehoyisa, ach, sameach. I don't ach means only joy. The purest joy. And l'cho'ora, I think we could assume the expression pure joy is greater than simcha simcha. When it says v'samachta v'samachta, when the Torah repeats the word simcha, you know that's a double dosage of simcha. But ach sameach, pure joy, is on a higher level than a double dosage of joy. So if you notice, there is a progression. No joy, a little joy, a double dosage of joy, and pure, unadulterated joy. There's a progression as we go through the Moad. What's the pshat? My high. Now, of course, this is the order. First comes Pesach, B'chag HaMatzos, B'chag HaShavuos, and B'chag HaSukkos. This is an order. No joy, a little joy, a double dosage of joy, and pure joy. What's the pshat? Okay, Rabbi Amelsky mentioned the Pasha pshat. The Pasha pshat refers to the agricultural cycle. And as Pesach, a person is not really in a state of joy, although the harvest season has come, but there are a lot more things that has to be cut, has to dry out in the field, it has to be gathered in. There are a lot of things that have to be done, and the person is apprehensive. He's apprehensive.
But
if you really.
The environment says the word achsomeach tells you a lot of times people have, you could have eight different crops growing in the field. So basically, you had a very good year. Six crops were very good, and two were not. Ach Sameach means that no matter what you plant, 100% of all your produce will be great.
Okay, that's when we focus on the agricultural.
That's how he does
Kedarko is
that's what he says it means.
He doesn't suffer fools.
You'll do what you have to do, but he's an optimist. You'll only have to look at that. Everything came out, everything came up roses.
Exactly. Okay. He's very, very precise in the pshat.
Right.
In the real pshat. Now, what about Al Derech Drush? So I told you the story before. Yeah, I want to review the story. I think I told you here for this far. There are two stories. They're both really the sefer that I saw the story of the Shleimim Nitzion, the new sefer that I'm very, very happy with, from Rabbi Felder. And I spoke to some people over Yom Tov about him, and there are people who actually know him. They knew him. They went to a shiurim. Very big Baal Halacha. They actually, someone I met on Yom Tov, he told me, he lived in Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. He's a big Baal Halacha, a very big Baal Halacha, and he passed away not that long ago. And now someone came along and took the Shiurim, and they wrote them up, and I told you, these two volumes, and they were written up like I've never seen. Really, you know, a lot of the koyach of learning in Svarim is if it's written well, if you can actually understand what it says. And there are people out there that are very gifted who know how to write. Unfortunately, the people that, you know, they just put things down on the paper, and it's sometimes very difficult to really understand what they're trying to say. Whoever wrote this has a gift. They really knew how to write. The content is second to none. And he has there two stories, even though this, actually, I don't understand what he's saying. But he brings two stories where a person, I think it was the same person, who presented as a gift to the Chazon Ish and to the Briskerov an Esroig that was second to none.
I'm sorry, it just dawned on me where it's Simcha and Shmos is.
Yeah.
When God tells Moshe by the burning bush afterwards to go
to Racha v'samach b'libay.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
That's the only time in Shmos.
Only time in Shmos. Unbelievable. Okay, but you have to leave the 13 times. How do you have 13 times in the other?
13 times in the whole sacred Torah.
Yeah, but what are the other contexts of Simcha? The other.
Yeah, v'yom Simchas Hashem or they Shechem.
It's very important to understand what is the meaning of Simcha. 13 times.
In the
Talpukho
you have,
it's very fascinating. The number 13 is a very big number to understand the significance of, I mean, if you want to define the essence of Simcha, you have to study the word Simcha every single time.
Somebody in the shul gave a whole shiur on it.
The meaning of Simcha.
Yeah, the Simcha that, you know, and you brought in.
Analyze what it means exactly. Very, very fascinating.
Once it is safe.
So now, let's go back to this idea. So we have Simcha, and there was a story where a person presented the Chazon Ish to the Brisker Rav an Esrog that was second to none. And both of them refused, after an enormous amount of persuasion, they refused to take it for free. They wanted it. Actually, what is interesting about the stories is they both wanted the Esrog. They did want the Esrog. And they ultimately took the Esrog, but only after they paid for it. They, like, you know, you would think, I don't need your Esrog. Gesundheit, I have my own Esrog. I don't need your Esrog. I bought an Esrog. Leave me alone. You know, I'm going to tell you a very good story afterwards. I think there's a very you remind me of another story, but they went to the Chazon Ish, Brisker Rav, and they wanted it and they paid for it. In the conversation, the Brisker Rav told this person something very interesting, and he said to him that there's a din by Lulav and Esrog of Lochem, Ulekachtem Lochem Bayoim Harisha. You have to own it. You have to possess the Dalid meaning. So, and if you don't own it, you're not Yoytzeh. So how do you own it? You make a kinyan. Now, if a person gives you a gift, a free gift, and you pick it up, it's yours. There's no shiloh whatsoever. A child. Okay, you have a child. You give something to a child. A child picks it up. A child does nothing. And it's his. Problem is, a child can give it back to you. So there's no question that we find all over that when you give a person a gift, the recipient of the gift, when he makes a kinyan, it is his 100%. There is no discussion, and the person, the recipient is the owner. But the Chazal, the Brisker Rav said to him, although that's true, when it comes to a gift, it could possibly be a degree of it not being yours. Because if the giver is not getting anything in return, there is an absence of conviction, an action of will to relinquish what he owns in giving it to someone else. What am I getting in return for this? I'm giving you an esher. I'm giving you, what do you give me back? I'm getting back nothing. Am I really, really willing to depart? Part of the kinyan, you have to appreciate, is the gemiras das. See, the truth is, I remember we saw this. Why do you have to have kinyanim altogether? Why is there such a thing called kinyanim? You have to pick something up. You have to, this meshicha, hagba. Just in your mind. In your mind, I give it to you. Why should that not be enough? So the answer I remember seeing is, the truth is it is. The truth is, if a person really, again, this is according to the letter of the law, this is not halacha l'maisa, if a person really in his mind can sincerely say, I want to give it to you, automatically it's as if it's given. Where do you actually have this halacha? A chasan and a kala. Okay, this is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If the luchutanim, the father of the chasan, the father of the kala, they verbally agree what they're going to do for the chasan and kala, hein hadvarim haniknim bi'amira. This is the only exception to the rule, that when they have two luchutanim, they marry off their children, and they both agree, like, really, the truth is we do this in the tanoim. That's really what the tanoim. The tanoim is pretty much that thing. But in the Ikar Adin, you don't really need even tanoim. What does it say in the tanoim by a wedding? It basically says that they commit to each other, they will get married. And it used to be in the tanoim, they don't do this anymore, but it used to be written in the tanoim, not only do we commit to each other, we will get married, the chosan's family is going to provide A, B, and C, and the kala's family will provide whatever, X, Y, and Z. Each family commits to set up the chasan and kala to set up their home. And the truth is, you don't need to a document. All you need to do is to commit yourself with words. You will do this, he will do that, and we're going to get married in a couple of months, in a year, in 6 months, in 3 months, in 2 months. Hein hadvarim haniknim ba'amira. These are the things which can be acquired, legally acquired, with just a verbal declaration of commitment. Why? Because when there is a simcha in the family, of there's a simcha in the family, and a person is so happy to make a simcha, there is such goodwill, there is such joy. My son is getting married, my daughter is getting married. There is such great simcha. The commitment alone is sufficient. Because you're in a very good mood. You're very, very happy. I once went davening in a place with Hashgacha Pratis. I davened there on the day, and there was a chashuv person whose son was getting married. And he was like, seems like they were sort of like, you know, in charge. And it came, they were davening, and this person was so excited that his son was getting married, he was pacing up and down the whole shul, the whole davening. He couldn't sit still. And he was pacing up and down the whole davening. And then when he got to Aleinu, and then he got to the Yoim, Hayoim Yoim Achasna Shel Bini. Instead of saying Hayoim Yoim Sheni B'Shabbos, Hayoim Yoim Achasna Shel Bini. He was so excited. So when you have a chosan kala, they're so excited and they commit to each other to do certain things in order to prepare for the wedding, you don't need to make an acquisition. The commitment alone, the gemiras das, is so powerful that Allah makes the kinyan. But when it comes to everything else in this world, no matter what you do, you go to the store, you go buy a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, Why do you have to make a kinyan on the bread? Give the money. Can you give the money? And you have to go pick up the bread. Why do you have to pick up the bread? If you put down the money on the table and you don't pick up the bread off the counter, it's not your bread. It's not your bread. And Lamayn afternoon, let's say all of a sudden there's an alert. Oh, Amber Alert. Emergency. And everyone runs away. And then you want to come back to get your loaf of bread, and the loaf of bread is not there on the counter, someone stole it. You can say to the balabayas, give me back my money. I didn't get the bread.
That's two block, not so.
Give it back to me. What do you mean? You gave me the money. And I was willing. When you gave me the money, I had gemiras das to give you the bread. Who cares? Just because the seller wanted to give the bread because he got his money doesn't mean anything. You have to make a kinyan. Why? Because who says you really want to give it to the person? Even though you're very happy, who really says it in your heart you really want to give this object to the other person? So what do? We make a kinyan. A kinyan overrides your gemiras das. No, it's irrelevant. You can be screaming and be angry. It doesn't matter. When you make a kinyan, that's the way the world goes. A kinyan works whether you like it or not. Did he pay the money yet? Is it a fair price? Are you coerced to do this? No. Are you happy? No, I'm not happy. I don't want to sell in my house. I'm very upset. It's because I'm in a very difficult matzav. I need the money. I have no choice. I have to sell my house. Do I want to do it? No. Is the gemiras das? No. Am I forced to do this? No, I'm not forced to do this. No one's forcing me. There are other solutions. So a kinyan overrides gemiras das. But the truth is, on a very, very high level, which is really not—it's not practical. If you could have both together, wow, that's a knockout. That's an out of the ballpark home run. Where you can have the gemiras das and the kinyan. And the truth is, you don't even need the kinyan. The gemiras das really should be enough. But we don't live in a world like that. So therefore, you have to have a kinyan. Okay, I have the kinyan. Do you have gemiras das? Who cares? Who cares if you have gemiras das? That's not the way the world works. We don't live in a world, perfect world. You made a kinyan, it's yours. A matana. On Sukkot, you need a lekachtem lochem. Did you pick it up? Yeah. Is the person happy that he gave it to you? No. Who cares? You got it. It's yours. It's lochem. Is the gemiras das? What difference? So let's say someone gives you a gift. You picked it up. So the Brisker Rav says something very, very shocking. It's really a shocking thing what he says. He says, listen, give me a gift. Basically, he's saying, I'm not in the category of people saying matanos yichya. I take gifts. I'll take a gift. But for this mitzvah, I don't want to take a gift. Again, this is a chumr. This is not a halacha. It's a chumr. For this mitzvah, I don't want. For the mitzvah, I want to give me restas. I don't want to just make the kinyan, and now it's mine because I made a kinyan. I want to be mahader in the mitzvah. I want there to be a gemiras das. If I give you money, it can't say it'll be a total. it'll be more. If you walk away out of this room with this money in your pocket, you know, there's a gemiras das. There's something more to it. So that was the mice. The Chazon is a little bit different, similar story, but there's a different of a gemiras das. Now, what do I want with this? I want to take the story a little bit further. I want to say that it's more than this. This doesn't say this in the Sefer, but I want to go a little bit further. What do you do with the Lulav HaNesrog? There are tzvei dinim in the Lulav HaNesrog. Ulekachtem lochem. That's number one. It's yours. Number two, what else? Usimachtem. And you rejoice. Okay, so it's not just lochem. Lochem means usamachtem. We always discuss this idea when a person goes to a cemetery and you come across a kever that says the person was nene miyigias kapov, you stop. Tremendous. How many people in this world can say that about themselves? That they gave more than they took. That they're not recipients of redistribution of other people's wealth in government. This is the way the world works. You have nothing to talk about. Look, you walk down the street, look, there's running water, there's air conditioning. the Baruch Hashem is relatively speaking, you know, there's safety, security to whatever degree there is. The electricity is running, the water is running. Did we pay for everything? Did the government? I mean, who paid for every benefit that we have in our life? Who paid the clothes off our backs? Okay, so you know, their children have nothing of themselves. Everything they have comes from someone else. Gets to a point in time in life where you have to start giving back. You have to work, and you know, is it inherited wealth? Did you earn it? How hard do you work? There's a principle of being nene miyagias kapov. So I want to suggest that is the real definition or one of the multifaceted dimensions of joy. Joy does not mean you go home, you take out some chemicals, take out some alcohol, and you light up a cigar, and you have a steak, and you put on some music, and you call over your friends, and you dance, and you rejoice in good things. Is that really called joy? That's joy. You're having a great time, you feel great, life is wonderful. It's maybe even in religion. In religion, you're very happy. You have joy in Hashem. Yisnachu lefnei Hashem. Is that really what it means, joy? What is the real definition of simcha? So I want to suggest and prove it from the Moadim. The definition of simcha is not joy, satisfaction that you are nene miyagias kapar. That's what it means, simcha. Simcha does not mean going in circles around the bima while you're drinking alcohol and going to a simchas pesach ha'shoeva and jumping up and down on very dangerous bleachers and doing strange things. That's called joy. Is that really joy? I don't even know what the emotion is. I mean, look at some of these videos. They're very, very nice. The singing is very nice. I guess I'm very not on my madrega to really appreciate the depth of what I'm seeing. But what is real joy in life? It's when you're sitting all alone in the basement, in the middle of the night, or early in the morning, in the middle of the day, and you just know deep down inside that I'm a giver. I'm not a taker. Whatever pleasure I have in this world, I have earned. I am nene miyagias kapar. It's a very deep satisfaction. It doesn't need the approval of anyone. It doesn't need any stimulants to change your frame of mind. It doesn't need you to get up and walk around and dance and do anything. It's just in life a satisfaction a person has that I've earned my place in this world. I've earned my keep. That is called simcha. Straight like a rayaska, pshat.
Yep.
Now how can you say such a thing? Well, I told you this mice from the Brisker Rav. It doesn't say this in the mice. What the Brisker Rav is saying is, he said, gemira stas. Yeah, but there's another element in not taking, you know, people, everyone, I'll give you a little bit of a sequel to this vart, but in a moment, but you want to give me an eshek b'matana? Really? You want to give me a gift? Technically, I'm yoytze the mitzvah 1,000%. But you know, it goes a little bit against the grain of the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is, ulekachtem lochem, take for yourself, v'yom arish priyetzot tzadikah v'smem v'anaf itzovot v'ari nochal, usimachtem. How do you expect me to have joy with this exquisite esro if I didn't earn it? You're giving it to me. Yeah, I'm yoytze. Everything in the Torah is like that. There are legal loopholes. There are legal loopholes for everything. In Torah, you can literally get away with avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shlichas damim. There's a legal loophole for every single thing. You can outsmart Hashem 100 times over. However, who are you really fooling? There's a lot more to Torah than just the legalities, the technical details. There is the spirit of the law. You give me a gift. All right, a child has no choice. K, you have no choice. People who unfortunately are not, don't have the means to support themselves, whatever the reason is, they have no choice. So the Yoitza, what are you going to do? That's the way the world is. We don't live in a perfect world. But when you have a situation where you can follow the spirit of the law, how could it possibly be? I should take a gift? And now, usimachtem? What am I, a child? I'm a child. I need the satisfaction of the rule of an issue that I earned it. I have money, I worked hard for my money. Whatever I do, I do. I make a couple of dollars, and I've taken that money, I've purchased a lulav and esrog. Usimachtem. I don't take a gift, a lulav and an esrog as a gift, because the spirit of the mitzvah is usimachtem. Now I'll tell you a secret. I sat over this vart and Yom Tov, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and afterwards I sat over the vart literally in 10 seconds because where I was, no one was interested in listening to anything. And actually, there was a person there who listened. I couldn't believe he actually listened. The whole was over in, I don't know, 60 seconds. And he was very angry at me. And he said to me that his Rebbe gave him a gift, a lulav and an esrog. This person, I don't think has a penny to his name. He's not such a whatever this matzav is. He's not in the matzav where he can earn a living. And he told me that his Rebbe gave him a lulav and an esrog as a gift. And he said to me, I was very moved that my Rebbe thought about me and he gave it to me as a gift before Yom Tov. And when I shook lulav and esrog the first day, it was a different experience. Because I looked at the esrog and wow, it had meaning to me. So he basically says that what I said was total nonsense. I told him, you're right. I'm not going to fight with him. But he's not right. He is and he's not. Okay, obviously, you'll say, usamachtem. Obviously, ayin ponim l'toyr. There's no question that if a person, like, you know, a person, grandparents, they have a special hanon in giving their grandchildren gifts. And it means much more, many times, I can't say for everyone, much more to the grandparent to give to their grandchild than even for the grandchild to take. There's truth to that sometimes. Sometimes.
It's a good training.
Right, sometimes. I mean, everything that needs balance, everything. So when you're not going to say, of course, you're right, in that type of situation, I am part of the Torah. Okay, there are many different dimensions. There are many different. I don't mean that this is the only pshat in Simcha. Obviously, this boy has a very good point. What he said to me, a very good point, and so it sees in this world. There are many dimensions to Simcha, but the Briskerov, you know, is not a little boy. The Briskerov, when the story happened, must have been in an advanced age. I don't know exactly what age he was, but an advanced age. And he didn't need this person's esrog. Okay, the Briskerov wasn't, wow, how nice. Someone comes over and gives me. Obviously, that wasn't the case. Obviously, there's a mature level of usmachtem where you earn your own place. Now, what's the proof to this? How can I say something? You have to have a proof, chapter and verse. The proof, I think, is the fact that the procession of Simcha that we discussed, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, and Shmini Atzeres. On Pesach, it doesn't say anywhere in the whole Torah, b'chol Torah kula, mitchilos of Yatzayif, not in the Nechilta, the Sifrei, and Torah's Kehanim, and not in the Zohar, and not, I'm just making things up now, that there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and there's a mitzvah of Simcha, obviously, but the Torah doesn't say explicitly Simcha on Pesach. You know why? It was a freebie. When we left Mitzrayim, we were on the 49.999 level of Tumah. Another moment, it would have been over. It would have been completely over. We would have sunk to a level where we would have been irreparable. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he came to us, Nisim v'Niflois, took us out of Mitzrayim. It was undeserved. Zuchus Avos. I promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it says in the Midrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he took them out of their graves and he brought them to be observers. You ever pass a construction site? There's always someone there sitting around doing absolutely nothing. Guys sitting there on the side doing, I once saw a video, a guy on one of these TikTok videos or YouTube videos. A guy, there's a construction site, and there's a guy sitting there with his helmet, playing with his phone, and the other people are slaving away. What are you doing, this guy? I'm the supervisor. I don't do work. I just stand and supervise. I just stand there and watch. Oh, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they came to supervise. Says the Medrash. Hashem took out Klai Yisrael in their presence. The Pasuk of the Torah, Rashi says, in their presence. It was in their zechus. We did not earn it. Here we are, miracles, miracles, and miracles, one thing after the other. What do we do to deserve this? No more slave labor, no more suffering, miracles, gilui shechina. You deserve this? Nothing. Zero. Simcha? Are you joking? You want to have simcha? Maybe you can dance and you can sing. Oz Yashir Moshe, you can do all these nice things, but there's no simcha. Because a mature darg of simcha demands, it is a satisfaction. I've earned my place. Nene miyegias kapoy. Pesach, zero. What about Shavuos? Well, yes and no. Yes, what was the yes? Nasa v'nishma. The whole world was mocking Nasa v'nishma. Are you guys out of your mind? You know what you're getting yourself into? You know what it says in the Torah? You're going to say Nasa before Nishma? First say Nishma, then say Nasa. Klal Yisrael was masking. They were makabel the Torah. Blind faith. That's pretty good. Now, there were problems though, because they had Charata. When they came to Har Sinai, we changed our minds. They didn't even show up. They didn't even show up to Har Sinai. They deliberately decided not to come. Now, that's why they had Moshe to go get them. What were they saying? They overslept. Well, they overslept. Really? They didn't oversleep. They chose not to come. That's what it means. They decided not to wake up because they changed their minds. And what happened? Hashem says, it's too late for you to change your mind. Kofa aleihem har kegigis. If you don't show up, I'll kill you all. It'll be over. And then what happened? Gilui Shechina. So on the one hand, we initiated the process with Nasa v'Nishma, but it was a mixed bag because we had Charata, we didn't want Kof Alim Har Kegigis, but you did initiate. No one is denying the fact that Klal Yisrael were deserving. They earned it. They did say Nasa v'Nishma. And therefore, there's this Somachta v'Chagecha. You deserve some simcha. Sukkos was much greater. Lechtech acharei b'midbar b'eretz lo zerua. What do we commemorate on Sukkos? In the big picture of things, we commemorate the miraculous. We commemorate basically lechtech acharei b'midbar. Zacharti lo chesed nuraich ahavas kulo soich. Lechtech acharei b'midbar b'eretz. Sukkos mamish, and on the Akavoid, Sukkos are the booths. What booths? 40 years! 40 years they were sitting in booths. Why? Because we decided to follow the Anani Akavod. The Amur Onon, the Amur Esh. We traveled and we resided in either Sukkos mamish or Anani Akavoid. Sukkos represents a sustained degree of emunah. Matan Torah was a moment of emunah, a spark. Nasa v'nishma. Oh, we changed our minds. That's really what happened. What happened by Har Sinai? Nasa v'nishma. No, we changed our minds. No, we don't want. No, we don't want. It's too late. What do you mean it's too late? It's not too late. We'll make an egel. We're not going to come to Har Sinai. We're going to make a lot of trouble. It's too late. Nasa v'nishma. Too late. Too little, too late. We don't want it. It was a momentary burst of emunah. That's enough. You've earned it. Even though it was a disaster after that. Sukkos, it's unreal. A sustained darga of emunah, lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz lo yizarua, 40 years of emunah. V'samachta, v'samachta. You deserve it. The joy of Sukkot, of Simchas Pesach Shoeva is, we've earned it. We've earned it. And on a small level, every person in their own personal life, you know, you have to, Sukkot is a time to take satisfaction in what you have accomplished. The Minene Migias Kapod is what to take satisfaction in. What about Shmini Atzeres? Shmini Atzeres is a Shpitz. What's the Shpitz of Shmini Atzeres? What do you do on Shmini Atzeres? You go back into the house. Go back home. You leave the sukkah and you go back home. By leaving the sukkah, you're not focusing anymore on Lechtech Acharai Bamidbar. You go back home. And what do you do at home? What do you do? You live a regular life of Torah and mitzvahs. In the desert, it was pretty good. You didn't have to work. It was man, the be'er, the nani akavod would polish your clothing every morning. You didn't have to brush your hair. The nani akavod did it for you. You didn't have to brush your teeth. Everything was done for you. Did you deserve all of those miracles in the desert? Not really. I mean, obviously, lechtech, the emunah, there was a sustained emunah. But you know something? Hashem gave you more. He gave you a lot more than what you deserved. We deserved it on a much higher level of a sustained emunah for 40 years. But what Hashem gave us back was infinitely more than what we really deserved. Man, the be'er, the protection, not needing to work, there was no daigas haparnasa, and all the other incredible miracles that happened. When you come back into your house on Shmini Atzeres, the show is over, the party is over. There are no miracles. There are real life issues, real problems, real daigas, parnasa, chinuch habanim, good health, and yet you're still observant. You still wake up in the morning and you go to shul and you put on tefillin and you wear tzitzis and you buy kosher food. You're willing to spend crazy amounts of money on kosher food, mm-hmm. and going along with all these crazy things that go on, nonsense, people taking advantage of you. It's worth it. You know why? Because it's a mitzvah. And, you know, a mitzvah is a mitzvah, so sometimes, you know, it's hard. And Hashem is not showering upon you nisim geluyim, and you still do this? Yeah. That deserves ach sameach, the purest form of joy. Because here, you really, really can say about yourself, Yinene Miyagiyas Kapay. What you have earned, what you have acquired for your neshama in the Olam HaNitzchi, it's the real deal. It's the real, real deal, because no one is giving you handouts. No one is doing miracles. I mean, there are miracles that are hidden within Torah. You understand that. But it's not an open display. Klal Yisrael for the last 2,000 years has to do quite a bit. And yet the resilience is astonishing. It's Shmini Atzeres represents the spitz of satisfaction. Satisfaction in Nene Miyagiyas Kapa. I repeat a word I told you once. This is a beautiful word I told this to you at least once. And it really fits in very well with this idea. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed. Why was it destroyed? Before the Bayis was built, there's always a hakdama of a Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, we have to prove this. I heard this idea pretty much from someone, or Yitzhak, or by Korlin, by Zalman Korlin. He says something really blew my mind what he said. He said exactly what I was saying, but pretty much this is what he said. That, I don't know the Makar for, but what gave the Beis HaMikdash its life? In order, the Beis HaMikdash is not just bricks and stones. It's a life force. There's a neshama that's in the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, where does that neshama come from? Kabbalas HaTorah. Now, the same way the Bayis Rishon had a Kabbalah Satorah, the Bayis Sheni demanded a Kabbalah Satorah in order to sustain it. And likewise, the Bayis Shlishi needs a Kabbalah Satorah. So let's look at it from this point of view. The Bayis Rishon was Chorav in a very ugly way by Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Why? How could it possibly be? The Beis HaMikdash is Nitzchi. If this Yesod is correct, that the life force of the Beis HaMikdash is Kabbalah Satorah, we were all Mekabel the Torah and Har Sinai with the words of Nasa and Ishma. So what went wrong? You know what went wrong?
Violation of cardinal rules of the Torah.
Well, more, but besides that, okay, that's besides that, right, that's all related, but there was something lacking in Nasa v'Nishma. When we said Nasa v'Nishma, it wasn't complete. The Haraya, Kofa, Aleim, Har Chagigas. It was nice talk, lip service. That was a little bit of it. Nasa v'Nishma, there are many Mahalchim to explain whatever, the Nasa v'Nishma, Kofa, Chagigas, but there was a very big problem with Nasa v'Nishma. If we were really sincere in Nasa v'Nishma, how could it possibly be that we did not show up? We didn't show up, like go get an invitation to go to a wedding, and you write on the card, I will in Yirtzah Hashem come to the wedding on this day and this time, you put a check in the envelope, you send it in, and you don't show up. You're a liar. You put in the card, you're gonna come, you didn't come. We said Nasa v'Nishma, and we did not show up to Har Sinai. Oh, you overslept. Meir always tells me, don't give me excuses why you come late every day to the shir. Don't give me excuses. Always excuses. Excuse this day, this day, that. Always excuses. Today I had another excuse. Today there was another fire drill. Edward R. Murrow. They shut down the usually the honking that was going on Avenue L. Okay, but it didn't make a difference. This time I figured out how to go through and navigate. It wasn't delayed 1 second because of the fire drill. But if I wanted to lie, I could have told you the reason why I came late was because of the fire drill. Excuses. There's no excuse for not showing up to Nasa v'Nishma. You're not interested. You're lazy, not interested. Kofa aleim har kigigas. Hashem took the mountain and said, you don't want to recover the Torah, I'll kill you all. That's it, you're all gone. So what happened? The life force that gave Kabbalah Satorah the Beis HaMikdash was shvach, was lacking. And that's why the Beis HaMikdash only lasted 410 years, because the Nasa v'Nishma only had that much juice in order to sustain the life of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash's lifespan, The existence of the Beis HaMikdash is only as good as the Kabbalah Satorah. What is in the centerpiece of the Beis HaMikdash? The Luchos. In the Holy of Holies, in the Kodesh HaKodashim, what's there? What's in the Kodesh HaKodashim? The Aron. That's the Koyach of the Beis HaMikdash. Are you sincere? Do you really care about what it says in the Aron Luchos, the Sefer Torah? Are you really interested? The more you are sincere about what it says in the Kodesh HaKodashim, the centerpiece of the Beis HaMikdash, the longer the Beis HaMikdash will survive. The more energy, the more stamina will the Beis HaMikdash have to exist? Yeah, you said Nasa v'Nishma, very good. But it didn't last more than 410 years because you had Charota on your Nasa v'Nishma. You didn't even show up. And Hashem had to go put the mountain on top of you. Okay, fine. What about the Bayis Sheni? Where was the Kabbalah? Rabbi Chol knows, Purim. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem. Chazal, what is kimu v'kiblu? Kimu ma'ashe kiblu kvar. After the miracle of Purim, there was a renewal, a renaissance, a rebirth, a renewal, a recommitment. And here, there was no charat. Why? When they saw the miracle, the Chazal said, "When they ahava sanes," the commitment of Kabbalah Sator was thoroughly sincere. But there's a problem, though, and therefore that's why that kibul v'kibul, which in essence is a new commitment to the Torah, is what triggered the rebuilding. The resurrection of the Bayis Beis HaMikdash in the form of the Bayis Sheni, and that was better. Kimu v'kiblu was better than Nasa v'Nishma. There was no harata. There was no harata. It was sincere because of the miracles they saw Hashem's hand operating in the Tech Teva, and a much greater impact upon the neshama of the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael. And their acceptance was deep and profound, and that's what gave the lifeblood for the resurrection of the Beis HaMikdash. And guess what? It lasted even longer. Gadol yihyeh kivoyd habayis ha'acharei min harishon. It was even greater. So why was it destroyed? What went wrong? Where's the chasaron? The chasaron is, it was for ulterior motives. Mibnei ahavas hanes. They saw a divine love. Oh, you love us, Hashem. It's kedai. We saw the miracles. And if you didn't see the miracles, you wouldn't say nah, you wouldn't say kibul v'kiblu.
You're saying it's too easy.
It was too easy. It was sincere. There was no charata. Look, it was too easy by Nasa Nishma also. But Mishum Ahavas Hanes. Mishum. It was only because of Ahavas Hanes. So what does that mean? Let's say there would not have been a miracle. Okay? Business as usual. So then there would be no kimu v'kiblu. There would be no Beis HaMikdash. So that means that the Beis HaMikdash that was built shortly after the miracle of Purim was only because of ulterior motives. That's a fact. Avas HaNeis, it was a Naya Kabbalah. It was a better Kabbalah than it was originally. But still there's something lacking. Now, fast forward. 420 years plus after they first built it, 420 years it existed, and then it ran out of steam, and it was no longer. Now, what happens next? It's now been almost 2,000 years, 1,953 years, and what has happened during this time? Are there any miracles? No miracles. There are no miracles, no miracles, Giloy? And there are no hidden miracles either. Not at least on the level of Purim. There are hidden miracles every single second, obviously, but not on that level. And therefore, is Klal Yisrael still interested in Kabbalah Satorah? And in essence, for the last 1,953 years, Klal Yisrael, every single day, make a bracha, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivonu la'asoyk v'divrei sora, Asher bochar bonu mikol homen v'nos lanu estoy v'asoy. And there are no miracles. There's no Yitzias Mitzrayim, Nisim Guluyim. There are no Nisim Nisorim. And yet, for 1,953 years, every single day, there's a Kabbalah Satorah. there is a kimu v'kiblu on a much higher level. The kimu v'kiblu of Klal Yisrael, the sustained emuna for this 1,953 years, is what is powering up the lifeblood of the Bayis Shlishi. And this Kabbalah, and the people today are Moser Nefesh for Torah all over the world, including everyone here in this room and in our virtual existence in every other box on this screen. You come to learn Chol HaMoed morning. Unbelievable. This is where the miracles. We're the miracles. There are no nisim guyim. There are no nisim nistarim. It doesn't matter. This will to commit to Torah is a Kabbalah Satur that is above and beyond Nasa V'Nishma, above and beyond Kibu V'Kiblu, and is this which is creating a life source for the Bayis Shlishi that is on a much higher level than the other two life sources for the Bayis Shlishi and the Bayis Sheni, which will trigger a rebuilding of the Bayis Shlishi that will never be destroyed. This is the ultimate, the existence of Klal Yisrael in Golis for the last 1,953 years is Shunyat Tzeres. Go back home. We're no longer going to commemorate Lechtech Acharei B'Midbar, because Lechtech Acharei B'Midbar, can't forget, although it was a sustained emuna, but we had benefits. There were miracles. The Mon and Ayakovod, there were miracles. There are no miracles today.
What will trigger the rebuilding of Bayis Shlishi will be greater miracles than ever before.
But yeah, at the very end.
Yeah.
But right now, until we're now talking about the miracle. We're talking about the Kabbalah Satur. There are miracles which trigger a sequence of events which lead to the coming of Mashiach and the being Beis HaMikdash. But there's another element in the building of the Beis HaMikdash that's hidden, and that is Kabbalas HaTorah. Shlomo HaMelech built the Bayis Rishon. When the Bayis Rishon was built, what was the life source of that binyan? It was 480 years after Kabbalah Satara.
So you're saying that it is the ultimate Kabbalah Satara, if you will.
Is now. Is happening in front of our eyes. For the last 53 years. Really.
In spite of the Iskatnus Adoros.
Despite. Who says Iskatnus Adoros? Iskatnus Adoros. But very funny. You want to say despite. It doesn't matter. The commitment to Torah without any ulterior motive is the ultimate Kabbalah Satara. The Beis HaMikdash needs a life source. The Bayis Rishon was built 480 years after Kabbalah Satara. It wasn't ready yet to be built for technical reasons. They had to come into Eretz and conquer the land and settle down. But when it was built, where did it get? What was the energy that gave it its existence? Nasa V'Nishma. When they built the Bayis Sheni, there was a 70-year delay between the Bayis Sheni. Where did the Bayis Sheni get its life source to be rebuilt? Kibu v'kiblu. So when the Bayis Shlishi will be rebuilt after whatever number of years, where will it get its life source? Where is the Kabbalah Satorah? The answer is, there's been a prolonged, extended Kabbalah Satorah for 1,953 years. And this Kabbalah Satorah is seen in the fact of the commitment that Klal Yisrael has to observe the Torah, to learn Torah, kind of the midst of the Torah, without any ulterior motive. No one is doing for us miracles. There are no open miracles, and there are no hidden miracles on the level of what happened at the time of Purim. And yet, it doesn't matter. The commitment is the same. This is Shmini Atzeres. Leave the sukkah. Everything falls away. You're done with Pesach. You're done with Shavuos. You're done with Sukkos. Go home. And do what? Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. There's nothing to commemorate. Just to live your life as a Jew, as a Shomer Torah u'mitzvahs, without getting anything in exchange. Pure commitment. Pure, unadulterated commitment. And that commitment without getting anything is v'hoyisa achsoneach. Now you can say about yourself, ah, I have satisfaction in life because I didn't take a handout. I went through life, I did what I'm supposed to do, miracles didn't happen to me, and the kinyan that I have acquired for my neshama, and my neshama, the kinyan, the neshama itself has been conditioned. I've been nene miyidias kapon. And just like every person can say this on his own level, and the bigger picture, in the bigger picture of Klal Yisrael, the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi, each bias, each tekuf of Gilui Shechina needs a commitment. There's Nasa v'Nishma, Kimu v'Kiblu, and then there is the Kabbalah, we'll call the Kabbalah of Simchas Torah. That's what Shemini Atzeres is. Simchas Torah. What is the Simchas Torah? It's Kabbalah HaTorah without any ulterior motive. You take out your Nakodesh, you dance around with the Sefer Torah. What are you doing with the dance around the Sefer Torah? It's the Mepharshim say it's basically making a Shavua. It's when you commit yourself, Lahavdil Elif Alpha is nothing. You have to say a trillion. Today $1,000 is nothing. It's a lot of money for me. But for the government, a billion here, a billion there. Ukraine and give them $80 billion. Give Pfizer another $40 billion. give this one a couple of billion. Give the legal immigrants a couple of billion, you know. So you have to say a trillion half dollars, a politician or any public servant, you have to swear on the Bible. Right? You gotta swear on the Bible. Right? No, isn't that the custom? Well, today we live in a woke society, so you can probably swear in a tissue box, right? Soon enough, sure enough, it's like you put your hand in a tissue box, may, right? And I swear on the koyach of Kleenex. Woke. We live in a woke. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. Okay? But there is such a concept. What do you do on Simchas Torah? You take the Sefer Torah in your hands and you walk around with it. It's be'etzem a Kabbalah, a Shavua. You pledge your loyalty, you take an oath, a Kabbalah, Nikitas Chafetz. You hold on to the Sefer Torah and you walk around, make a Hakafa, and you say, Ono Hashem Oshin, Ono Hashem Aslichon, Ono Hashem Anil Yom Kareinu. There's a commitment. That is the Kabbalah HaTorah. And that Kabbalah HaTorah is far superior to Nasa V'Nishma, to Kimu V'Kiblu. Because Nasa V'Nishma didn't last very long. Kimu V'Kiblu, ulterior motives. Mishum Ahava Sanes. You're getting nothing on Simchas Torah. What miracles are happening the next day? It's business as usual. The day after Simchas Torah is usually a very big letdown. You go back into the world of reality, the mundane world of reality. You gotta get the plumber here, you gotta get the electrician, you gotta go make a parnasa, hustle to make a couple of bucks here, a couple of bucks there. What are you getting out of all this? Nene miyegias kapa. You have emuna pshuta in Hashem. This is the holisa ach sameach, satisfaction. You're not talking about music and meat and chalent and herring and this, or to each his own, his form of entertainment and joy. It's just sitting alone quietly in a broken chair that squeaks and just thinking, ah, I have satisfaction. I'm a giver, I'm not a taker. And that there's nothing in the world that can come to that simcha of the hana of Yigiyas Kapi. Okay, so this is really what I wanted to even talk about today. We'll have to do more tomorrow. But basically, the idea I hear is the chazov in 30 seconds. It says in the Torah, Simcha Mayevsky, we have to really analyze this much more and know this fascinating stuff. 13 times Simcha. From the 13 times it says Simcha, with regard to the Moadim, Pesach, it says it nowhere.
The person that gave the shir made a hemshech to the word Ava and Echad. That's
the 13 times in the bar. 13 is a big number.
Ava and Echad.
Ahava is love, Echad.
Yeah, I mean, the Villagol mentions that as well. You know.
Number 13 is a big right. Number. If you want, I can give you a long, long list of all the 13. I'm into this. I have like a whole...
Moshe made a book on every number, period.
Yeah, I want to see his book.
His own,
So do I. I have my own honor.
He's an actuary. That's what he does.
13.
I have a bar mitzvah to think of.
13. I brought you in. Remember, I brought you in a book. I had a whole book. Whole thick safer on 13. Like 1,000 13s.
He wants
to do that.
All
right, but whatever it is, it says by Pesach there's no simcha, by Shavuos it says it once, by Sukkot it says it twice, by Shmini Atzeres it says it, ach sameach. Maisel with the briskerov, someone gave him an esruk, I'm not taking it, there's a lack of gemir estas. So I wanted to extend that story, is it's not just the lack of gemir estas, it's also, it goes against the spirit of the mitzvah to take an esruk for free. Usamachtem. You're supposed to take the mitzvahs. Usamachtem.
Is there a hidro to go and take the esrog off yourself?
What?
Going to the field and to take the esrog?
And maybe as an extension of this idea, maybe you'll say there is. Maybe there is. It says usamachtem. How do you define usamachtem? If you define, I'm trying to suggest over here, the more you're involved in the taking of the esrog, the more there is, because what does it mean? Usamachtem. If you mean just time you have a good piece of meat, no, fine, I'm not coming to argue with that. That is certainly a joy. But there's something more profound, and that is satisfaction that you are from the category of being nene miyegias kapov. So to give me a free esrog, okay, I'll make a kinyan, it's mine. How do I now do usamachtem? How could I say I'm in nene yigias kapov when someone gave it to me as a gift? I'm a taker. And that explains why on the Sholosh Ugolim you start with Pesach, there's no simcha. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, halalu of the Avodah Zarah. What are you people? Did you earn it? No. Zuchos Avos. Shavuos? Oh, a burst of emuna. Sukkos? A sustained degree of emuna, 40 years of emuna. Shmini Atzeres, it's pure emuna. Go back home. No miracles at home. Nothing, and just live a life as a shomer Torah u'mitzvos. Be'emuna pshuta. Wow. That's the real deal. V'hoyisa ach sameach. L'rabois yom tov acharon shalchag. Lel yom tov acharon shalchag, which means the whole Shmini Atzeres. And as a sequel to that is the Beis HaMikdash. There were three, there's a triple Kabbalah Satora. Kabbalah Satora of Nasa v'Nishma, Kabbalah Satora of Kimu v'Kimlu, and then there has been a Kabbalah Satora that's been taking place for the last 1,953 years, where there are absolutely no ulterior motives. Nothing. No one forced us, and no one, there's no Ahavas Hanes, and yet we're committed. That's Simchas Torah. That's Shmini Atzeres. Just go back home and live yourself a regular life, and take the Torah, commit yourself to the Emuna in the Torah, and this will ultimately bring for you the ultimate of simcha, the ach sameach, to be nene miyegias kapov. Okay, Rabbi, so I will stop over here. Thank you very much for coming and learning with me.
Tomorrow?
If you didn't come today, I wouldn't learn a word. So I owe it to you, what?
Tomorrow
yes, yeah, same thing, 10:30. 10:30 tomorrow, Mishnah 10, and try to be on time.
There's no fire drill tomorrow.
No fire drill tomorrow. They had it today, it can't be. I'll find another excuse.
Rain is
10:30 on the dot.
My mother used to say all the time, it's a reason, not an excuse.
A reason, not an excuse. 10:30 on the dot. If you're really serious, a chassan never came late to his chassana. Not so never. Chassan called, but somehow they always made it there on time. How did that happen? Because they're chassana. The guests, they don't show up. Why? No excuses. If something is important, you'll be there. The news anchorman on television, right? 6:30 news in the morning. How come they're never late? The anchorman, he didn't show up yet. He got stuck in traffic. Surgeons, you have surgery, 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. How come the surgeon didn't come late? How come he didn't get stuck in traffic?
They leave hours early.
Okay, then he gets stuck in traffic. You gotta be there, you're there. No nonsense. There's no such thing as an excuse. Okay, have a wonderful Moed. Enjoy the Moed. V'samachta b'chagecha. Enjoy.
Yes.
All the best.
Are you staying here?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be back. I have to try the Simcha things on Tamari.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to see.
Okay, take care, Dr. Friedman. Take care. Nice to see you.
Laser Bachi. Servus.
Oh, my video wasn't even working the whole time. My video wasn't working. I didn't even pay attention to this. Ach, and then I didn't turn on the video.
So they didn't see your face?
Yeah, no. Doesn't matter. You're right. Other Rabba.
You ever have a minute to eat matzah on...
Tezvav.
Not only Tezvav, it's Yetzias Mitzrayim.
No, there's a mitzvah, there's an inyi after the kezayis, not of matzah. There's no matzah. No,
you have to eat a kezayis of a challah.
It's a dangerous thing to do that.
Right.
Is it in the sukkah? But you don't say. But to say matzah is a very dangerous game. That's already. That's an abuse. I don't think. I never heard of such a thing.
You don't say manishtana hakamoye. We don't eat in the sukkah.
That's already becoming abusive. If you're going to find someone that says that there's eating matzah on pays on sukkahs in the sukkah. I'm choishay. That's not correct. I think someone maybe got a little carried away with themselves to say that. What you? Well, someone is. There's a very interesting kasha. Why aren't women chayiv in sukkah? There is a gzeirah shavat tesvav to take from Pesach into sukkahs. Okay, to a degree. So noshma chayiv in matzah. The chayiv in matzah. Oh, it's mitzvah zman grama. Doesn't matter. Well, makish, if you chayiv in chametz, in the prohibition of not eating chametz, so you chayiv in matzah. So why don't we take tezvav to be married and noshma chayiv in sukkah? So no, they all say this is very interesting. Kol kevuda basmelech
penima. Not in the sukkah.
A woman does not leave the home. You don't go out of the home.
That's why doesn't sleep in the sukkah because...
Your wife.
Right.
And the wife, woman is potter because it's not kol kevuda basmelech penima. So once the wife is potter, so the husband's also potter. So he got a lot of flack for this. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, they still don't forgive him for this.
Huh?
They still don't forgive him for this. He got a lot. No, Hasidim also. They give him a lot. They give Lubavitcher Rebbe a very hard time.
Why
this.
He didn't sleep in the sukkah?
Yeah, and I, he, not only that, he didn't hold it.
The truth is, he did sleep in the sukkah because he spent all his time in.
Right.
He didn't sleep. Period.
For some reason, this is a very big sticking point. I agree with you.
No, there's a video way back when they had the Shach business.
Yeah.
Someone, a Rosh Hashiva, came in here yesterday.
Yeah.
And he's on the line.
Yeah, what did he say?
And the Rebbe gave him a
frask.
He says, this is was discussed in the by the Balatanya. This is all discussion. You're willing to have an offer from whatever I do for you, but you can't, you're trying to make a machlekes?
Exactly. You see? They use the it's erishus.
Really
it's erishus. It's erishus. This is, you say, you just said it the way it is. He said, the alpi halacha. You don't sleep in the sukkah. It's a halacha. For some reason, the Litvaks and the Hasidim, they became fascinated with this sleeping in the sukkah. And because they anyway don't like Lubavitch, so they use it as a wedge, to go shtechem. That's all it is. That's mamish all it is.
Why doesn't Lubavitch put decorations on it?
I don't know that. They don't put decorations. Hakpada not to?
Right, they don't put anything.
I'm sure it's a halach reason, for sure. Yeah. Everything he does is a halach. What do you...
Yeah.
When you don't like someone, everything you don't like anything about. That's the Metzias. They just use it as a way to start up with it. That's all it is.
They're mocked but to use greens. They don't like bamboo.
Psoilus, right, because he's supposed, they're right, he's right, because this is psoilus going to be Yaakov. But we used to say he's not psoilus. He's supposed to use the psoilus, the greens of the psoilus going to be Yaakov. Bamboo is not psoilus. That's so poshut.
Eretz Yisrael, that's what they do. They trim the trees. Right. This year, maybe they had a problem because they had to do the Shemitah. You can't. Every year they trim the trees.
Only the fruit. I don't know.
And they have on the street piles and piles of branches. But with Shemitah, there was a problem.
I don't know the halachas. Yeah.
So how was your Esrog?
I got a really nice Esrog.
Huh?
I got a nice one. Oh, I had a really good Esrog. I had a very interesting Esrog part of the story. You're going to love the story.
You're going to tell us another
story. Yeah, that was the story. Someone told me, someone sent me to buy him an Esrog. Told me $1,000.
He gave you?
He told me he sent $1,000.
How's Fuchner doing? Around? He had a stroke.
I know. I don't know. I hear it good. Not so good. Avraham Fuchner. I don't know. They thought he was going to die.
But for Rav Schachter, nobody's saying kill
him. Rav Schachter, because he's already been like this for 3 years.
Huh?
He's been like this for 3 years. Right. Now he has a new problem. Now he has heart problems.
So go ahead. So they sent you to buy a strict for $1,000.
So he told me, I can sell you $1,000. I said, I don't have time to pasture for you.
Right.
Get lost. No, go. All right. I'll let my PSD my work. So with the work that he shows, this is a web hole. Then he shows me Yanov. This is Shmita Yanova. Only 5% of the Yanova Estrogen.
Or not with pitams.
Have pitams. I said, he said to me, I have them upstairs. I have eight. It's a big deal.
Right.
Did you see the Yanova without the pitams? I said, I did. They're nice, nothing special. They were going for 350, 400. I says, if you don't like those, then there's nothing to look at. They're for Meshugoyim. Yeah. You know, they're for Meshugoyim. When Meshugas, they have to have Yanova with a pitam. $500. Then all right, fine. Then I asked somebody, the guy who's driving me crazy, maybe he has something for him. So look at the Yanova with the pitams. I went up the upstairs, and he shows me the eight. I went through all eight very quickly. There was one that was taka very nice. There was a Yanova that was with the pitam, holding in my hand, $500. I can't go bring him this.
Why?
Because for $500, I gotta go bring him a watermelon, you know?
Right.
All right, so the end was, he got from somewhere else anyway. Wherever he got from someone else anyway.
Was it nice?
He got the Moroccans. Yeah, they're all clones, they're all small, whatever. He got whatever he got, I couldn't kill him. So I said to him, when I saw what he got, I said to him, I should have taken the honor for five.
Right.
So he says, that's right. I told you. I don't really have so much money, this guy. He's money to burn. Yeah. I don't have so much money.
Okay.
So he says to me, you see, you learned a lesson now. I called him back the next day.
And I said,
still has this. They're all gone. All eight are gone. They're all gone. It's a big deal, a whole deal. So I told him this. I said, I should have got. So he says, that's right. You learn a lesson. You have something good in your hands. Yeah. You don't throw it away.
Oh, so he's that's talking what he about said. Shirach he's talking about.
Listen to the story. You love the story. You have something good.
Don't throw it away.
You should have taken it. Okay. I'm a cheapo. I go.
Go on Avenue Jade.
I go. I done that also. But I go in every year. I go 16th Avenue to Wechter. I go to every year Wechter. I used to buy for people. So I go to his trailer. I go to his trailer on 16th Avenue every Yom Tov, like 11 o'clock. For the Shirayim. Whatever I get there, the Shirayim was a few days ago, $200.
Yeah.
So, and then then I called him up also. I asked him one more time. I says, you're in luck. The person who got it.
Gave it back.
No, he says he bought from me, told me what he bought from him. But the Yanov, he's probably going to give back some of them. I said, yeah, I'll give back the ugly ones. He's not going to give you back the one that I like. I says, that he's for sure not going to give you back. That was a nice one. I go there to Wechter on this. Yeah, they have nice stuff. Beautiful stuff, incredible stuff. $50. Everything is $50 today. So I said, you have anything else? Because I know the guy.
Yeah.
Anything else? The stuff stashed away in the trailer?
Right.
There's a box here. I didn't put it out. This box. They send it over from Flappish.
Right. And that was the Yanova?
So I go through the box, pick out Sasha.
That's the Yanova.
It's a pitam. It's not a Moroccan. So I said, is this a chaz? Because they have chazon ish from Morocco. Yeah. Is this a chazon ish from Morocco? Because I said, pitam, impossible. Right. Only 5%? So he goes, no, that's a Yanava. So it can't be.
He sold them out.
He can't be. It's a Yanava. The Pitim can't be. Can't be. And I'm looking at it, and then another guy comes. He says, no, that's a Yanava. He says, a Yanava.
That he wanted 500 for.
And it says in the box, it says 5 on the box.
So you knew it was that. So you took it?
And I'm like, can this really be 50
So you
bucks?
Took it or no?
Of course, I took it in a second. I took another one also. That was also very, very nice. Yeah. I took two for myself, for else. I took this one for my sister, whatever. I bought also like $20, whatever. Yeah. Then I come to me. I had to bring my Ravis. I come to him. I said, look what I got here. This was the one for $500.
Yeah.
I got $50. $500. I said, you know what the lesson is? He went to me like this. He said, you know what your lesson is? Sisters, you have something good and you don't throw it away. Oh. I said, you know what the lesson is? If it's my shirt, you'll get it no matter what. That's the lesson. Good story?
Yes.
Good story.
I was walking this morning and we had two guys. And we stopped in the street to talk.
Yeah.
This guy's name is Noah.
Yeah.
That's the Noah. I know the Noah. Very nice guy, very nice guy.
Father.
Yeah.
He works in jewelry, right?
I don't know what he does. He has a back of shame.
Yeah.
Very fun, nice guy.
It's a question for us.
So, what do you hurt? What does it hurt?
Doesn't hurt.
So good. We'll be back soon.
We ate this food today? Have you got this?
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up to the supper.
Okay. And where's it going to?
It's going where?
Come on.
Huh? Wait, what are you doing? Why?
He's going to Israel. I need a place for Shabbos.
Oh, yeah?
He's
going to Israel?
He's already coming over to for Shabbos.
Now, Baruch, you're back.
A good moyed.
What?
A good moyed.
A good moyed. You just logged on now?
Yeah, well, I was busy right
now. Okay, of course. I didn't expect anything. Please.
No, what time did you start?
10:30.
Yeah.
Tomorrow also, 10:30.
First time we showed up, 10:10.
Okay, don't worry about it. How was your Yom Tov? How was the Yom Tov?
Very nice, it was in Farahwa.
By your wife's family?
Yeah, my wife's son. Her oldest son.
So what are you diving for? Yeah?
I spent up 10 children.
Nainahara. Wow. Busy.
Yeah. He balanced our rabbi's sandwich.
Right, you told me. Right.
But what happened was now they had to move out from where they are because they're trying to build a building. And they haven't really started yet. And when they were, they had to leave. So the Dami and Siach Yitzchak.